source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tate Blake Grayling. This week I'm talking to Jay of the Ass Hockey Podcast. We're talking a lot more than the Ass. We're talking about the draft, free agency, the end of the season, and a whole lot more. Hey, Prince says the internet is dead. Well, we had a good run. Welcome to the ring. What seems to be my regular contributor these days, Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast, is here. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Tate Blake.
And unlike our normal endeavors, we're not going to talk completely about the Avalanche.
We'll talk about the Avalanche.
We'll talk about the Avalanche, but we're going to talk about a lot of things.
I'll bring them in somehow, some way.
I actually haven't talked to anybody on the podcast.
It's Joe Sakic's birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, that's right. July 7th, pre-Kovalchuk to anywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
The era of Kovalchuk not being anywhere still continues.
Joe Sakic's birthday is bigger news than anything Ilya Kovalchuk did today.
You are killing me right now.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I haven't talked to anybody since the Stanley Cup was won, since the draft and the beginning of free agency. There's a whole lot to cover, but there was a whole lot that happened, and
we're together, so why not?
Yeah.
All right.
How did you watch a lot of the Chicago Blackhawks Philadelphia Flyers series?
I watched as much as I could. I was interested, especially with Philly being the huge underdog. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I watched a little bit more than I give myself credit for. But you know, as big as an Ian LaPerriere fan, I'm not trying to throw the Avalanche in here for real. But it'd be good to see him win a ring, and seem to like him as much there as they do here. Which is easy to do.
Well,
but I watched
He blocks shots with his brain.
Face, with his face.
Got a brain bruise.
A brainial contusion.
Yes, which is different than
the scrotal contusion.
Yeah, I had to bring that up.
We forgot to mention that in the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
But the Flyers, I don't know. They started to finally play like the underdog that they actually were. I mean, and I don't mean as in scrapping back. I mean, they were looking tired. They were, it wasn't a sweep. It wasn't an easy series.
No, not at all.
And the last game was won in overtime.
Yeah. And they were the favorite coming out of the block, and everybody thought they were just going to be the best thing ever. And, and they worked for it. They didn't come into the playoffs playing very well, and coming back down 3-0, that's an accomplishment in itself. Mm-hmm. And you have to give them some credit. They put up a fight. That's for sure. They didn't. I don't think they necessarily ran out of gas. I think just Chicago was the better team. But
Chicago looked excellent. I did get to go to a playoff game in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It was awesome.
I'm sure.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the classic. Canucks get out ahead, and then. Luongo starts to fall apart, and you kind of want to pin things like that on somebody, but really what it was the Canucks gave the Blackhawks the opening, and just like the rest of the playoffs, they took that opening and ran with it.
That's how you win the Stanley Cup, right?
That was really, I think, what impressed me the most about the Blackhawks was just how much they actually could take control of a game or take a game back.
That's what good, really, really solid defenseman, obviously, and a goaltender that's playing well will get you. And that led to a good series as well. Lightened, I think, played very well for the Flyers and kept them in it. And, Pronger, as much as you love to hate him, if he played for my team, I'd love him. He plays his role so well, and he's just such a jerk, and he knows it, which is even better.
Brian Burke said, not everybody likes Brian Burke, but I like the way that he talks about the vast majority of his players. He actually talks about them with, with respect, or you have to like this guy, or you have to like that guy. But Burke was saying about Pronger that, of course Pronger would be a good fit on a Burke team. It's like, it's like the peanut butter and chocolate thing.
Right.
But look at teams when Pronger leaves.
Yeah.
Look at the Oilers when he left and how they fell apart. Look at the Ducks last year. It's just, Pronger does bring a lot to teams. And you remember how much complaining there was about him. He's mean in the dressing room, or he's, is he really being this and that? He helped a lot. He Absolutely. Helped them get to the Stanley Cup finals.
He just does not care. He'll say whatever he wants. And you know, he's
it's like television for him in a way. It's just, you know, it's an act, you know, he's
good at it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that's really, really easy to hate, but you have to respect it all at the same time. Cause the guy can flat play.
How many media people actually went to a Pronger press conference and dropped like, I don't care about seeing, you know, Carter.
That's
I don't
right.
care about talking about Carcillo. That's Let's right. go see what Pronger has
that's
to
right,
do.
Cause he always has something to say. And he always comes through in his little games that he was playing and stealing the puck. And they asked him where the puck was. He says in the trash where it's supposed to,
which it really
where
wasn't.
It's supposed to be. And him, was he flipping towels at people? And I mean, he plays his role well. I mean, he's one of those rare guys that can be that thorn in your side, but he can also back it up with his play. It's not just
or his elbows.
Yeah. Or elbows or whatever else he wants to do.
He did get away with a lot in front of the net. I was really,
it's the Stanley Cup playoffs and the referees want to stay out of the mix. Mm-hmm. So a lot more of that I think is let go.
Yeah. It's, you know, I kind of look at it in a way almost like I look, it's like some of the salary cap issues that some people are having right now. You know, the rules are there. The cap is there. You know, you abide by it or you get called. So, you know, even if, you know, the refs want to stay out of the way, well, as long as they're calling what's actually, you know, if they're calling it right, then that's,
It's a good series.
It was a great series.
Kind of anticlimactic. You know, when the final goal is kind of as soft as it was. And it was really
it was soft, but at the same time, if anybody had seen it go in, it would have been, erupted.
Three players on the ice kind of realized that it had gone in. And I don't know if people saw the YouTube kind of outtake type thing with the alternate audio.
The alternate call.
Oh, that's great stuff.
I can't believe it. Kane is going after his own players. Oh, wait. It's in. They win the cup. It's over.
It's good stuff. But, very good series.
I'll throw a link up to that.
I enjoyed watching that. Yeah, that was a good one as well. So
yeah, it was. I was very satisfied. I felt like, you know, I change allegiances in the Stanley Cup finals as soon as the Avalanche are out. It's basically whoever can beat the teams that I don't like.
Okay.
And then once the teams that the three teams that I don't like are out, then
what?
I can kind of pick and choose a little more. And I was,
enjoy the game a little more.
Yeah. Well, cool. Or at least, I can just go, okay, well, this would be nice to see, and once your team is either out or didn't even make the playoffs, you kind of have that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there are people who are just like, you know what? I like my team and I hate 29 teams,
yeah.
You know, and I can't
That's
do that.
That's not cool. No, I can't even come anywhere near that.
Once it became San Jose versus, it was like, it'd be nice to see San Jose, but I want the Blackhawks to win.
Yeah.
And, I really liked watching Bufuglian.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Bufflin. I really liked watching Bufflin play. You know,
he was money.
He was huge money.
Scored some big goals.
Where was he in the regular season? Where was he in the regular season? You know what?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Uh-uh. Yep. He's got that cup ring, and he's going to be, unfortunately, in Atlanta now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Eager,
to see.
Sopel, I think Ladd, but Ladd filed for arbitration.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's we just got done talking about it on my show, but who's
going to what's your show again?
The Avs Hockey Podcast. It's your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Where can people find that?
AvsHockeyPodcast.com.
All right. Just checking.
All right. Thanks for the plug. Pretty shameless, too. But, I mean, who's going to be left when they start off against the Avalanche on October 7th?
Joel Quenneville. Well, yeah.
The stash.
An overpaid goalie that sits on the bench. The other goalie that is going to arbitration, which should be interesting considering,
Didn't play.
They have a cap problem right now, and everybody knows they have a cap problem. I'm sure that Niemi knows that they have a cap problem, but at the same time, it's not his fault that they have a cap problem.
No, and it's kind of strange to watch, and it's the new era of it's the cap era of the NHL and of sports as well. I mean, everybody knew this was coming, but you still are surprised when you see they traded Bufflin for who?
Yeah.
You know, and just to see all those guys, Chris Versteeg and all those guys leave. It's
Versteeg went to the Maple Leafs, I believe.
Yeah, right? And it's like, is this how you celebrate? You know, you take a couple weeks and everybody's real happy.
That's
and then
what you have to do, I guess.
And they break up the show. So Dynasty, probably not.
But, no.
You know, who knows in today's cap era whether those are even possible anymore.
Yeah, the thing, there was a lot of really fast predictions or really a lot of fast outlooks on the cap when the cap first went in. And, again, we're getting close to that haves and have nots. You know, one of the highest paid, one of the highest payrolls, and before the cap was around $60 million. And where are we at with the cap now? $60 million. And then what are we actually having problems with teams, being so close to the cap? yeah, for the Blackhawks, yeah, for one or two teams, but there are a lot of teams that are still have a lot of room to make up to make the cap floor right now.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy.
Things have changed. That was not part of the conversation a few seasons ago.
No, it wasn't.
Really nobody was. Well, Atlanta has always kind of been down that way. Carolina used to be down that. I mean,
they have budgets.
There's Florida. Budgets. And I think there's only so much that attendance can take care of. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, based on what the cap is and how much people are spending, there's got to be some other things going on that.
According to CapGeek.com, right now, the New York Islanders are at $35 million.
Yeah.
The cap floor is around $43 million.
Yeah.
That's nutty. I mean, there's still four teams that are below the cap floor, St. Louis, Colorado, Atlanta, and New York.
Wow.
You know, and that's, you know, I mean, somebody's going to have to sign, Turco to a lot of money just to make up for that. But, you know.
Yeah, and Islander fans are, the Islander organization wants to sign Kovalchuk maybe for a certain reason, and the fans want him for a different reason.
Right.
And yeah, that's.
Well, you know, some of those reports are sounding. Here's the thing. Can you imagine, like, this? Remember what free agency was like? Like, before Twitter, before.
The feeding frenzy.
Yeah, way before, Sports Blog Nation or most of these hockey blogs, before hockey blogs were even on the map. Now, every little bit of information gets dissected, overblown, rumored, lied about, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's hard to tell who actually wants something and who actually doesn't.
It's true.
You know, looking at the Islanders, I'm still confused as to whether or not Garth Snow even made an offer or not, or if it was just a call of inquiry, to which I said, it's a long-term solution to a short-term problem.
Yeah.
You know, cause again, there's another team that has, some high draft picks that are going to be coming up in one or two years that are going to need to get paid. And you're going to want that availability. If you sign somebody to 7 to 10 years at solid money, and you're already paying off Alexei Yashin, you're still paying for DiPietro, which really isn't a ton of money.
Yeah, but it's a long time.
It's a long time, especially depending on how injured he's still going to be.
Sure.
I'm assuming from their moves that they're going to make more, that they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of, a lot of teams that, are so tied into, it's that whole you look at the Blackhawks and they really built on a lot of their draft picks and the like.
Yeah, they did.
Other than, a very expensive goalie and then Hossa, which, I think was too long and too much, but still, they won a cup out of it. Yeah. And now they're having to dissect because they don't have the money there.
It's a different reality, that's for sure.
Wouldn't you love to be able to have held on to Sopel, Bufugli and Eager and Versteeg?
I don't think you can really blame them. They put together the best team that they could for the year that they did. But you also appreciate teams that can look in the long term. The Red Wings are absolutely fantastic at that. They draft well and they just keep bringing guys up. And
they sign people for very reasonable money, even though it doesn't seem like it with a few of the big signings.
Yeah, good point.
But look at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Malkin, Crosby, and Fleury eat up a lot of money. Stahl eats up some money. But they're going to have a rotating cast of characters. Fedotenko, Guerin. Look at these guys who were there for a year or two and then have to go away because
they outplay their contract. Yeah. The Avalanche have had that issue in the past as well, mm-hmm. to where you get a guy that's $1 million player and has a $2.5 million year or mm-hmm. two in a row, depending on how long they're signed for. And then they have to go.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the game. I don't know. I don't really have thoughts on whether it's positive or negative for the game. It is what it is. Everybody plays by the same rules for the most part. And
it's that Gary Bettman parody,
mm-hmm.
that's
And that's where the point system ends up, having a lot of parity to it as well, to mm-hmm. where you have everybody all crammed together and a week left in the season, you still have, 12, 13 of the teams still active in the playoff hunt. And that's what he wanted, but it is kind of annoying to where, if you really break down the numbers, which I know you've had a few guests that have, and I'd rather have it a little more defined as far as who really earned their spot in the playoffs or who just, mm-hmm. Had better shooters in the shootout or, played for overtime a little bit more, I think.
Well, the shootout debate, yeah.
Yeah. And as much as I love the shootout, it just now the newness is kind of worn off and to have as much riding on that as, as there has been, and as close as the standings are, it just doesn't seem like a fair way to end stuff. You know, I'd rather have a team play a little bit harder during regular season play, obviously, and during regulation to be able to make really earn their way to the playoffs rather than kind of they had some better shooters or they can play for overtime a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So that's just me though.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
it's I think that the spectacle of the shootout has worn off, yeah. And that's just
I agree. I don't get as excited. I mean, you do get excited because you know there's a point available, but I don't think your average hockey fans really, they just like, oh, it's a shootout. You know, it's kind of the spectacle that everybody gets excited about, and you know, it just seems, like I said, anticlimactic, mm-hmm. and I think it's too much to put on. You know,
if you want to talk about anticlimactic, you want to talk about the NHL draft.
Oh my goodness. Know better than I would.
You should go some year. It's the first round of the draft this year took 4 hours. The second through seventh rounds took under 4 hours.
I'm gonna go play golf instead, and you can just send me tweets and just let me know how it goes.
It got brutal. It was just so long that first round.
Well, and like you've said in the past, it's the first 6-7 picks are exciting, and then the rest is like, who's that? Yeah. You know, we don't follow that. This isn't our job. Obviously, we just do it, but I mean, it's not our job to know all this stuff, and I don't care who that guy is.
Yeah.
You know, most likely he's not going to be that great anyways, unless the team gets really lucky.
Well, chances are, I mean, if you're watching the draft, either like that first round on TSN or, the rest of it on NHL Network, you're better informed if you're at home and hearing what, Bob McKenzie or whoever is saying.
That's their job.
You know, and if you're in the stands, you're like, oh, well, that was cool. You know, oh, they're there in the stands. Yeah. Oh, they're there.
There he goes. Oh, he got a jersey.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to go get my face on an Upper Deck card. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I did. That's I got my Upper Deck rookie card. They were making draft card. They were making those for people.
Print run of one.
Yeah, exactly. In my Johnstown Chiefs jersey.
You look good.
Thanks.
It looks good.
Almost like a player.
Can knock out a few of your teeth.
Too late.
Sweet.
There's a few, and then of course, obviously, free agency started, within days, which is always interesting because, who are they going to pick? Who are we going to get? And then, are you building around that? Like Edmonton, for instance, mm-hmm. with their first round pick, he's going to play next year.
Yeah.
Bruins, he's going to play, second round pick, Sagan. I got to shake his hand, got a picture with him.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Happened to be wearing my Plymouth Whalers jersey because I knew he was a Whaler and was either going to go first or second.
Nice.
And the coach and his mom stopped me and said, hey, where'd you get the jersey? And we chatted a little. And they were like, well, here he is. You want to say hi, shake hands? And I got a picture and talked to the coach of the Whalers for a little while.
As you say, the jersey is a social network.
It is. It is. Yep. People see your jersey and say, hey, who are you? What are you? Let's talk hockey.
My mantra is they tell a story. Every mm-hmm. jersey has a story, and you have a lot of jerseys with stories.
I do. You do, too. I mean, you brought another, dozen over to show off?
I think it's 10. We do jerseys when we get together. So
Jay has a whole nother house just for the jerseys.
I'm actually running out of room, but don't tell my wife. So yeah, free agency.
Started.
Crickets, tumbleweed.
Well,
not as much as we're used to, but I keep going back and forth.
There are a couple of big guys, and then it definitely did drop off. But once you start looking at, like, if you can put the Ilya Kovalchuk out of your mind, if you can take Nabokov out, mm-hmm. Which Nabokov finally
won't even be
today,
in the NHL. Yeah, that's the thing. That's an interesting move right there.
I think, the interesting thing about Nabokov is that if he had signed in the NHL and stayed here, all it would have been microscope and criticism. He's going to go to the KHL, and he's going to be a star. He's going to be a hero, and nobody's going to question him at all.
He gets to go home, and he gets paid.
Yep. And, it's if you go
– Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
Same type thing.
And,
home for him.
But. Green is – grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah. But, at the same time, can you imagine what it would have been like for him if Nabokov had been signed as a number one goalie somewhere?
And done well during the regular season. Yeah. He probably would have done well. I mean, he always has.
Yeah.
He's always had good defensemen in front of him, though, too. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily sad, but you're totally right. I mean, he has this cloud over his head that – the only thing that'll get rid of that cloud is winning a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And, that's what everybody else is working for anyways, without the cloud over their head. And I don't know. He had a decent season. He put up great numbers like he usually does. And he didn't necessarily implode during the playoffs.
No, those just, were a lot of one. I mean, yeah. They did get swept, but it was like one goal games. And, yeah. You know, there was overall the Sharks, the Sharks didn't tank this year, but they didn't, you know, and they surprised a lot of people because of that.
But they've got this, you know, here we go again attitude, and their fans are the same way. Their fans are booing, you know, halfway through the second game, you know, because they can't get a shot on goal during the power play, you know, and it's just, I don't know if that's a, you know, a place you necessarily really enjoy playing the game to where here we go again. It's just like we always thought they would be. And well, that's tough.
Here we are with, you know, what, 29 teams retooling and one's, you know, it's and one's the model for the year. It just, that doesn't make any sense to me.
But him leaving the NHL, I mean, that's pretty a big deal, especially for, it's not like he ran out of gas. It's not like he's on the downturn of his career. I mean, he's getting there.
But I'm wondering solid numbers. With like him and Marty Turco also, I mean, here are two number one goalies or, you know, were number one goalies for a team. And now they're on the market and they're, I don't think the market is there for the numbers that they think they deserve.
Yeah, and Kovalchuk's probably your best example. I mean, we all don't know what he's asking for, but it's a lot. You know, his numbers would say that's what he deserves.
Right.
But the market and the approach has changed a lot, and it's a very different reality, especially for us people that follow the Colorado Avalanche. Just pick up, you know, year after year, at least, you know, before the last three or four seasons, they pick up the best people that are available, and then you'd retool, and then you go again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that anymore. It's more of a, well, how much is he going to cost, and how much, you know, how much is that going to cost us? And I don't know, a lot more, well, not more factors, but different factors. And that's something that I guess we'll have to get used to.
Well, the very first signing of the day was Marty Biron.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, $1.75 million over the 2 years. You know, somehow they got that deal worked out in 5 minutes. I mean, it was noon, and that, you know, it was when free agency started, and then just a few minutes later they announced this deal. It's like, you're not even supposed to be talking to him, and
they're staying connected.
Yeah, somehow they worked that out pretty fast.
You know, you wonder though, and maybe it did take that long. Maybe they were just weren't looking for that much or whatever, and then they got that offer and went, jump on it, go, hurry, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be interested in some of the stories that go behind really a lot of the deals that go on during free agency.
Sergei Gonchar, 15 to 20 minutes into, and he signs a multi-year deal with, you know, the money changing per year, and they got that done in 15 minutes?
Yep.
Somehow... That seems a lot.
They are efficient in
and
what
they do. Wasn't it one of the GM for the Vancouver Canucks got called to the table for saying that he would be, or no, Brian Burke got called to the table for saying that he would be interested in talking to the Sedins before free agency had started. And he got yelled at for
smack
that.
Your hand.
It's like, what are you guys thinking? You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Here's one I think that you'll like, or at least have something to say about. Olli Jokinen and Alex Tanguay both going back to the Calgary Flames.
If it didn't work, I'm sure a lot of Flames fans would agree. If it didn't work 3, 4, or 5 years ago, why would it work now?
Right.
And I've heard some Flames fans say the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're thinking. It's not like, oh, goody, they're back. I've been waiting for them, you know. And they haven't done a ton. Although I've always liked Jokinen, and he's been pretty solid. Tanguay, I think Avalanche fans have their own thoughts on who he is and how he does his business. He really hasn't been the same since he didn't have the talent around him that the Avalanche teams that he played on had.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are interesting moves. I mean, how do you sell that to your fans? Yeah. Oh, I think it'll work this time, you guys. I mean, these guys have gotten better. I mean, they're starting to get to where they're kind of old, you know? How old is – I mean, Tanguay's – what, early 30s now?
You're gonna make me look stuff up now?
Use your computer.
Slow internet here. You know, it's almost like they're saying, you know what, it was all Dion Phaneuf's fault, you know, because they trade away Phaneuf and now we're gonna bring back everybody else.
Yeah, now Phaneuf's captain of the Maple Leafs, and
Olli Jokinen is 31. Tanguay is only 30.
I thought they were older than that. They've been around for a while.
Yeah,
but I don't know, that's a tough sell right there if you're a Flames fan. And the Flames fans that I've talked to are not very happy, and I can understand that, you know. But you can't necessarily say it's a new team either. I mean, not that much has changed there, except for Phaneuf being gone. So I don't know. Your thoughts on that?
I don't understand it. I don't understand. I mean, it's hard to say what actually, you know, people were, there were reports, everything's reports.
Oh, everything's,
you know, we don't actually talk to these people.
Breaking news. Yeah.
That Olli Jokinen was a cancer in the locker room. Well, I don't know if that's, you know, if that's really the case, you know, but, I've never been super impressed with Jokinen. I think he's kind of been one of those underachievers, you know, has skill, has some talent, but you wonder where it goes on the ice. Like once you get more people around him, if Tanguay was so great in the first place, why didn't they hang on to him? Was it a money thing, or is it just, you know, and, you know, you gotta, this is a free agency period where you have to, where I guess you gotta take what there is out there. Tanguay is only for a year. So big deal, you know, 1.75, you know, or 1.7 million. That's not bad. 2 years for Jokinen, $3 million per year. Oof. That's a lot. It just doesn't seem, you know, and this is a Flames team they're pretty close to the cap.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Capsgeek.com, who I've been using for a lot of stuff. And, they're saying $650,000 left.
That's it?
That's all they have left.
Is it with Kiprasov, Aginla?
Aginla, $7 million. Bomeister, 6.6.
That's right. I forgot about him.
Robin Regier, 4. David Lankow, $4.5 million. Kipper's making
$5.833333. 5/6 of $1 million. Math skills for you there.
Very nice. Well played.
Yeah. Thank you.
So yeah, it's that's cap hit.
2/3. No way. I'm going 5/6. Give me the 8/3/3/3/3/3/3.
Repeating.
I didn't realize there was that many high money guys, but well, again,
there was that Bomeister that, when he signed, and then he pretty much virtually disappeared. I mean, he was supposed to be the big defenseman signing. Everybody wanted him, la-di-da. And then,
Calgary fans are unhappy. They were unhappy before all this. They're not even happy with Kiprasov, when I think he's always played well against the Avalanche. So, you know, and they're playing six times a year, so you get a pretty good look at him.
But, what is it with Florida and players that go there, play well, and then go somewhere else and, you know, like Bomeister? I mean, Luongo was big.
True.
You know, he's the best goalie. He's the best goalie. Now, mind you, I'm saying this, and he won a gold medal. So, you know, maybe I'm talking out my backside a little bit here, but he falls apart, you know.
And Soleil in Florida? No. Am I thinking?
Soleil was in Florida. Leopold for Soleil.
Yeah. That's, I can't argue with that.
And it just seems that way to me. Maybe I'm, you know, and Tiro Ninomäki is now going to be the number one in San Jose, unless they decide to go with, like, you know, go after Turco or something.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, that's, he signed for 2 years, $2 million a year, which, you know, again, we're talking about, cheaper goalies. But, I mean, Ninomäki, I mean, he's been, you know.
That team's the kind of team, though, they have enough offense to where, I hate to say that goaltending's not important, but they're going to score a ton of goals.
Yeah.
As long as everybody's healthy, obviously.
They didn't score enough against, you know, Chicago.
No, they didn't.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Heatley still is there. I think
Thornton, Pavelski.
That was some Setaguchi. Of the thing with the free agency this year was that Marleau was going to be one of the big free agents. Yeah. They re-signed him before he hit the market.
Just before, he and Pavelski. They looked smart, dang good during the playoffs, at least. Well, they had their moments in the Avalanche series. But,
yeah, Sharks only have $1.2 million left against the cap. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm just getting used to my new reality.
Oh wait, no, that's incorrect. I think. No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. They have $6 million against the cap. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just used to my reality as an Avalanche fan, where, you know, for so many years they were right up against the cap, and now they're nowhere near it.
Well, and that's why they lost. You know, that's why they couldn't hold on to Foot. That's why they couldn't hold on to Forsberg, Blake. Yeah, even Hinote.
Yep.
Remember when Hinote?
Oh yeah, that's the guy that plays his contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I hear you.
Speaking of Dan Hinote.
Dan Hinote.
Going to going to be an assistant coach with Columbus. Columbus Blue Jackets.
No, that's Bob Bugner.
And
Dan Hinote, really?
Mm-hmm.
He's done?
I'm gonna make sure.
He played in Sweden last year. That's right.
Yep.
Double check that, because I hadn't heard that, but I know Bob Bugner's on his way there.
Yes, he is.
Former Avalanche.
Blue Jackets name Hinote, assistant coach.
No kidding. So man,
yeah,
We're getting old. The guy's used well, to watch player that, now, yeah. coaches.
Well, he's one of those guys that, you know, he came up in Hershey and he was a high goal scorer in Hershey, got to the NHL and completely changed roles because he wasn't being a high school.
And he did it well.
And, you know, and then kind of, you know, he signed for higher than he was really playing in St. Louis. I thought that they were going to really love him. And then it turned out that it didn't really work out well there. So, you know, it's interesting to see him as I wouldn't have thought of him as being a coaching material.
No, but he must know something.
Yeah.
He's got a ring. Rings never hurt when it comes to your resume. He was good in his role.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
So if we're looking at the Northwest Division right now,
cool.
It seems like the only team that really has gotten better has been Vancouver because of a couple of signings. Tambellini is okay, but let's see, Dan Hamhuis and Manny Malhotra, who I've always liked.
Yeah, he plays, he's played well for a long time.
He's a solid guy. I mean, Absolutely. He's not a first liner.
Nope.
He's certainly not going to be a first liner there.
But he's great on the faceoffs, and he's had a good career and continues to do so.
They've gotten better, and only because of the draft, Edmonton's gotten better. Yeah. And maybe they've gotten better through subtraction, too.
Well, they've gotten better, I think, with health, too. I mean, not having Hemsky most of the year last year, that's not going to help anybody's cause when his purpose is to do what he's done with the Oilers for a long time. So, yeah, it could be interesting.
Minnesota's done nothing, though.
Yeah, they've just signed some of their guys that were there already.
Right. Not Bogaert.
Yeah,
he's who's going to go get paid in New York.
Yeah, interesting move there, too. A lot of people.
And then the Flames we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be an interesting year.
Yeah, in the Northwest.
You never know. Always pretty solid goaltending, but, you know, Luongo tends to not play very well against the Avalanche for whatever reason. And I don't know. It should be fun. You know, the Avalanche still the youngsters and getting much younger as well. I'm sure their average age is, you know, if not the youngest, one of the youngest in the league. And, you know, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, looking at some of the signings, I mean, like, yeah, we're looking at some of them just seem really out of whack this year as far as value. But I mean, again, that's free agency. I mean, right now,
well,
I've always thought that maybe free, you know, like as the years go on, we're going to come closer to an average, you know, that maybe there wouldn't be as many crazy outlandish deals out there overpaying. And so far I've kind of been wrong.
Well, and now there's a bunch of guys out there that just haven't signed yet. You know, and that's not – it used to be, you know, the best sign right away. You know, they go after that best deal. But, I mean, maybe it is – it does have to do with everybody being on the internet and everything being broken down, and now everything is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether that's helping the cause or not. But when you have a guy like Mike Modano, like Marty Turco, like Billy Guerin, like Paul Kariya – and I realize those guys are kind of towards the end of their career, but still those are big names.
Yeah.
And it's not as clear anymore as far as, well, they're just going to retire. You know, so it is kind of strange to see names like that still on the list while others have signed, you know, really a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, Joe Corvo actually finally signed and he goes back to Carolina. But I mean, I'm looking at things like, you know, 3 years and $3 million for a year for Jordan Leopold to Buffalo.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. Yeah. Who is it? Colby Armstrong, who I like. Do I like it $3 million a year?
Yeah.
You know, not when Malhotra is getting 2.5. Yeah, who I think is a little better.
Yeah, and I think with the cap era itself, I mean, the money has become a huge issue. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, it was just so-and-so signed with so-and-so, and that was it. You know, and you just break down that move. And say, oh, that's a good fit, or oh, that's not a good fit, or that's a good move. Now it's, you know, that's a good move, but, you know, this many goals and this many points per game and this many shots on goal, his numbers are comparable to – I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, the agents is part of what they do, but – being with an organization and having to listen to agents all day break down numbers, and it's just got to get so old so quickly.
Yeah.
But that's how it is. It's a true business now, and I don't know how well that's working for us regular fans, at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like we're looking at – well, also, you know, look at the insanity that's going on over in the NBA right now. Right now, Wednesday, July 7th, LeBron James has not signed, but he's going to talk to he's going to announce on ESPN – exclusively at, you know, they're going to have a little show called The Decision. It's ridiculous.
It is crazy. It's just, I don't know whether it's something to focus on while it's kind of a dead spot in sports. It always has been a dead spot in sports. If you don't have World Cup soccer, all there is Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. And when they're in, you know, they're a little over halfway through and the All-Star break's coming up, there's not that much talk about. But it is getting ridiculous, and I get tired of all the Kovalchuk hype. That's all we heard for the last two or three weeks about what he's going to do. And it's been a week now, and he's done nothing still.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And now he's going back to talk to other teams, and, you know, more teams are back in the mix.
Going to the KHL, and he's asking for too much. He's a cancer. And then the rumors start going, and it's just wake me up when he's signed, and then we'll talk about it then.
Exactly. But
it's maybe the way of the media just filling up a spot in sports that normally wouldn't be filled. Because right now is usually a pretty dead time. Football still has another 20 days before – you know, the opening of training camp, so you can't really talk about that. Things have even died down in Denver when it comes to Bronco talk, and that never happens.
Right.
You know, the Tebow pick just blew everybody out of the water, and that's all everybody talked about for the next month, 6 weeks. And now that their developmental camp or whatever they call it is over, and there's kind of the dead zone before a training camp, nobody's talking about it at all.
Right.
So they talk about the Rockies.
Who have a really tall pitcher.
Yeah, he's good. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know the NBA thing. Just I don't know how anybody can get really excited. People will turn it on though. I might turn it on, just because I'm curious. But
the spectacle is kind of wacky. I don't if Kovalchuk, I've heard he's a guy that everybody. I mean, I'd love to have his goals.
Yeah.
You know, but after that, I don't know. I wouldn't want his money and I wouldn't want his years. Not with, you know, I mean, if I were a GM looking at it right now, I'd be looking at I'd be looking at what I have signed right now. And then I'd look at the 2011 free agency period and see what the potential free agents are there and then see how I want to build my team. It depends on if you're building or if you're, you know, if the future is now.
If Kovalchuk does anything but, you know, at least make the playoffs. If not, go late in the playoffs. They're just going to tear him up.
Look at New Jersey. He went to New Jersey, first round elimination again. Uh-huh. And you know, that's, you know, one guy is not going to make your team.
But he's asking for that kind of money. He's asking for that one guy money. I mean, mostly based on his numbers, he's got to ask for something fair. I guess I don't know what fair is, but you know, people are either going to slam him for taking less than he's worth, or they're going to kill him for asking for too much, which
no win.
which obviously is the case right now.
I think the best fit for him right now is probably LA,
that would be flat scary. I mean, if he comes in and is a part of that team, you know, naturally, and I mean, that's a heck of a team right there, as long as, you know, Jonathan Quick keeps developing the way he has. But man, I mean, they were tough last year. Yeah, they didn't do that well in the playoffs. But they're not that
first time they made it to the playoffs in how long?
Yeah, maybe it's kind of I don't know. It's a very different thing because the Kings necessarily they weren't like a pushover, but they weren't someone you look twice at either as a fan. But now you see them coming up on the schedule, you're like, oh, not the Kings again. Because I mean, they've got some serious talent. So and Doughty.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've got some good role players too, as far as
Hensu's had a pretty good
year. Yeah. As far as Wayne Simmons and Ryan Smith, you know, hey,
Dustin Brown,
you got to have somebody to do the wraparound. So you sign Ryan Smith. The guys will be over here practicing wraparounds if you need me. But yeah, I mean, they sign him. That makes them a serious contender, I think, in the Western Conference. And how, you know, whoever thought you'd be saying that. But as long as they stay healthy, if they get him. But, you know, there's also, I mean, who knows how long it's going to take. And there's even whispers that he would go back to Russia. So
there's a lot of whispers. You know, it's aggravating because, you know, actually it's the funny thing to watch for me is just how angry people are getting about whether or not you agree with them or not as to whether you even want Kovalchuk. It's like, you know, I'm not a GM. You know, so I get to say, yeah, I would like this or I wouldn't like that. But there's so many people getting angry as to whether or not we agree with them or not. It's just,
and I'm not gonna blame the player for getting what they're worth and trying to get as much money as they can. You can't blame blame them for that.
Right.
I blame, you know, and not even the media is talking about Kovalchuk that much. I think it's just the kind of Twitterverse type thing where everybody just has an opinion on him. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame LeBron, on the other hand, for I don't know how much ESPN is paying him to do this thing, but you're going to pay me that much? Sure, I'll go on your show.
Seems like a lot of – I think this is – the one thing I can blame LeBron for is that he can't be completely insulated to how much hype there is and how much you know, ridiculousness there is going on. You could do a lot to diffuse this right now by not doing something like that and just going, that's I'm true. Done here.
But
he's holding court in Akron and all that stuff. It's just like, oh, my, come on.
But if ESPN's – I mean, this is basically the biggest free agent signing in sports history. I really don't think – I mean, maybe that's the media hype talking through me.
Yeah.
But I mean, based on what he's done for the league, based on how he's played, I don't know if you've watched him much. I mean, he's one of those rare guys. Tiger Woods was the same way until his recent challenges. But, you know, everything that he was supposed to be, he is that and more.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't see those guys very often. So he's a guy that the league depends on and everything like that. But I mean, based on the media, based on all the hype, based on all the, I mean, this is the biggest free agent signing ever, you know, just based on all those different factors. So he's playing right into it. And probably based on the money that ESPN is paying him, I guess I couldn't blame him.
In 2012, when Sean Avery becomes a free agent, he's actually going to have his signing announced on the Style Network. I'm not going to say who's going to have their signing announced on the Food Network, but you can figure it out for yourself.
There's a couple different players that they might do a joint
to pick one.
That would be pretty entertaining. But yeah, hopefully this isn't the beginning of something just. I don't know. The NBA is a little different game just based on, you know, less players, more hype for certain players and things like that. But I don't know. Just like I said, wake me up when they sign and then we'll break it down from there.
Right.
But until then, it's just kind of, I don't know, something to talk about when there isn't much else to.
There were still, you know, I was really, after looking at the list of free agents that were available this year, I know that people were saying it was kind of thin, but I don't, you know, I mean, there were still some good players out there. I mean, Matthew Lombardi, who signed in Nashville, you know, Ray Whitney, he went, you know, 2 years, $3 million a year and goes to Phoenix.
When Carolina just wasn't interested in him anymore.
Yeah.
With him getting up there. So I don't know. There used to be really not that, I don't know. It's gray area.
And Sergei Gonchar went pretty fast. And relatively, Paul Martin did too. I think he was like 3-4 hours in and he was gone.
Nobody takes pay cuts anymore either. You know, it's just not how it works anymore.
That's, you know,
somebody will pay me, so I'm going to wait.
I bet Turco's.
Turco, I mean, will. Well, yeah. Theodore too. Theodore is a free agent that hasn't been signed.
And, that's true.
I don't know.
Is Theodore really a, I mean, that is he a number one anymore? I mean, that's the thing. He lost his starting job the first year in Colorado. Second year, he got it back. But then in Washington, D.C., he lost his starting job the first year and kind of lost it the second year.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, oh, they always play great.
And they were up 3-1, right? And then they blow. Well, yes. Varlamov was in at that point or whatever. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if he is.
There's only 60 positions out there.
Yeah, he hasn't proven it.
No.
But he's shown he can be solid, which I guess is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But he's been shaky.
Man, I remember how angry people were when he didn't get re-signed with the Avalanche.
Oh, they went crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I can kind of see what their, you know, what the point is. But then again, you know, if there's a market out there, I get, you know, you go, you know, and you can buy, you know, you can fill something.
Well, and that's not us. Yeah. I mean, look, you got one team offering you 2 and another offering you 3.5. I mean, it's like,
you blow a knee and that 3.5 is going to come in a lot more handy than that 2.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I agree. When you get, you know, you've got guys who have spent their whole life in a very different reality than the rest of us have. And then, you know, they've spent their whole lives building towards something. And then finally they make it. You can't blame them for wanting to get paid.
All.
On top of that, I mean, I always look at it like Jeff Finger. Jeff Finger wasn't going to say, no, don't pay me that much. I mean, there's no way that's going to be a good signing. You know, but, you know, so his agent got it for him. That's his agent's job. The team was willing to pay for it. And there you have it.
What do you want me to do?
And that's how free agency works now.
Yeah, which is, except for the Red Wings.
Yeah, they always seem...
They sign their guys for a reasonable amount before they become free agents. Yeah,
they always do.
They've done that well.
Well, you know, it's that having a tradition of winning cups.
Yeah,
and
hate
like,
them for it. Yeah, go ahead. It's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, same thing with Pittsburgh. I mean, we see that, you know, there's a couple of good, you know, Crosby, Fleury, and Malkin. And then, you know, you're going to rotate cast of characters around that. But people are going to want to go there to play with Crosby and because they could win a cup there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
not just any team can say that every year.
Right. Well, look at Atlanta. You know, they offered a ton of money, a ton of years to Kovalchuk. They essentially met his demands, and he said no. And you can imagine why.
And now he's a cancer for it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Although Atlanta, they're with the trades that they made and a couple of pickups here and there. Other than the goalie questions, they're looking like they could be a contender.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll believe it when I see it, though, too. It takes years to build that up, and Detroit's done it, and other teams just work on making it that way.
Chicago did it.
Yeah, they did.
You know.
And then they had to blow it up.
Yep.
I don't know. Gives us more to talk about, though.
Absolutely.
Yep.
The season starts October 7th. I think there's going to be still plenty more to talk about.
Absolutely.
In between. But for now, that's what I have. I mean, it was an interesting season. I really liked, I enjoyed the playoffs. I had a great time. There were just so many weird, wacky things, you know, with Boston being up 3-0 and then losing to Montreal. Watching what the Halak attack did with Montreal.
That's great.
It was really interesting.
Seeing
Phoenix even having a chance. I mean, they ran up against the Red Wings and still, you know, they were overpowered, but at the same time, they didn't choke. Wasn't the series tied at 2?
Yeah. Nobody really got blown out. It was entertaining. And it was one of those where if there was hockey on, it was worth watching. You can't say that quite about every year, although playoff hockey is playoff hockey. I mean, there's always something interesting going on, but there wasn't that clear cut favorite, you know, coming in bunch of teams playing pretty well. The Red Wings came in super hot, you know, and they kind of struggled with
got
Phoenix a little bit. Yeah.
And...
yeah. But yeah, it's hopefully we have some more years like that. I mean, having my team in it when they weren't supposed to be makes it that much better. Or our team. We own them, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The team that we like.
I get a couple bucks here, sure.
We go to games. But yeah, hopefully there's a lot more years like that ahead. The off season gets old really quick just because of the passion of the playoffs and everything. And I don't know. I'm ready for October.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of other people that are too. So.
Yeah. I think it's nice to, you know, since I went to the draft and all, it felt like, you know, like my season got extended a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking forward a little bit to the time off. I get right about that time that we hit December or so, I'm like, okay, you know, the season could be a little shorter. And then all of a sudden it seems like the playoffs are here. And you're like, crap.
I love hockey.
What happened? Where'd they all go?
It comes to like a screeching halt. It really does.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining, and I was, you know, maybe next year will be just as good, maybe better. We'll see. A lot of kind of stories still left to be played out as far as free agency and what teams are going to do and how they're going to meet the cap floor and so on, so on, so on. So
yeah.
We will see. Always plenty to talk about.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you.
You are, of course. Let's run your numbers for a minute here.
AvsHockeyPodcast.com. Twitter AvsHKYPodcast, and Facebook the Avs Hockey Podcast on Facebook. Just search for me. Click the like button if you like the Avs, and I'll keep you up to date.
Cool.
That's it.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you.
That does it for episode number 62 of The Rink. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, where you can subscribe in iTunes or the RSS feed, comment on anything you heard here. You can email me at rink@rinkpodcast.com, and you can always call at 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. If you find my cell phone, can you give me a call? Thanks for listening to The Rink.